Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I'm continuing a series that I started last week on the believer's authority. And we're now into part two in this. And I tell you, last week, what I basically was doing was just trying to emphasize that there is a spiritual war. We're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. We're fighting demonic powers and principalities, and it's amazing how many Christians are just unaware of the warfare. They know that there's a conflict, but they think it's just human. They think it's people that we're dealing with, and I used a lot of scriptures to try and make that point. Let me emphasize that I have a brand new book out on this entitled The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. And this would really bless you. Plus, we've got this study guide. It's nearly 400 pages. And there is a wealth of information in here. This is made specifically to help you facilitate a Bible study or a Sunday school class or things. And I'm really excited about our study guide because a lot of effort has gone into preparing that, and it's made it so simple that it's just really no way you can miss it. You have some materials that you read, and then it comes back and it asks questions. There's a teacher's part of this thing that guides you how to do this and how to facilitate a Bible study and tells you what to do, and you ask these questions. It's got an answer key, and you look up scriptures. It's got all of the scriptures that are used in that lesson printed out. And you look them up, and basically, the people answer these things for themselves and see what the Word of God has to say. And it's just a tremendous way to be in the Word of God. So again, last week I established that we are in a battle. The battle is not directly between God and the devil. Jesus already beat the devil, and so he's a defeated foe, but Jesus turned his power and authority to use that power over to us. And now the battle is between Satan and us. We are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. And so we have to take our authority and use it. So that's what I've already established. Now we're going to begin to start talking about as we confront the devil. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." As you resist the devil, you've got to evaluate what power do we have versus what power does our enemy have. You know, if you were in a physical conflict, matter of fact, Jesus even made reference to this, that no man, no general would go out to war against an enemy with just 10,000 men if the enemy had 20,000 men. You have to evaluate the strength of your enemy and see if the strength that you have is equal to or superior, and that depends on how you're going to confront them and all kinds of things. In the natural, we understand this. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. We've got to understand what kind of power and authority does the devil have. And here is where I really begin to depart and be different than the traditional things that are taught about Satan. Let me just say some things real quickly here, and I'm not going to go into a great deal of effort on this because I think most people are already familiar with this. But as a whole, the body of Christ believes that Satan was created by God and empowered by God as this demonic power, and he has a superhuman, supernatural power and authority that he uses against us. And so, most Christians see Satan as actually their superior as far as Satan's power and authority goes, but through Jesus, we have been given a power and authority that as long as we're relying on Jesus, we can overcome Satan. But it's like here is man's power and ability, here's Satan, and then God is up here. But they see Satan as being superior to them. I'm going to share some things with you from Scripture that I believe that Satan literally has less authority and power than mankind, even unsaved mankind. Now that is a radical statement. And I think that you can see that from where he got his power from. Satan did not get his power to oppress this world through God. He got it from us. Mankind is the one that empowered the devil. And here's the, I'm going to say some things right here that may really shock some of you, but if you'll listen, I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say. I believe that man made Satan. God made Lucifer, a godly angel, and he was endued with supernatural powers and ability as an angelic being. But when he rebelled, he gave up his angelic being. He lost all of that, and he became the God of this world and assumed human power and authority. And this is why that the devil has to have a body to operate through. This is why demons, like in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, cried out and asked Jesus, let us go into these swine rather than just being cast out into nothing. Because a demon has no power to do anything unless something with a physical body alive here on this earth yields to them. And even a pig had more power than all of these demons. A snail, a slug, a worm, anything with a physical body has more power than the devil. Satan is a spiritual being. His demons are spiritual, but they have to have human cooperation to be able to do anything. And if you understand that, what it does, it brings Satan down to a level to where it is manageable. And then you put the fact with it that we have the supernatural ability and power of God. And you know what it does? It gives you a superiority attitude over the devil that a lot of Christians don't have. A lot of Christians actually are afraid of the devil. Now, they may be sitting there using the name of Jesus, but I've heard a lot of people speak the name of Jesus out of total fear and panic. You know, I can give you some examples here that I remember one time I was casting the demon out of a person and this person tried to hit me. And I mean, the power of God just stopped him. But there was a demonic manifestation, terrible things going on. And I remember people on the front row just going, in the name of Jesus. And they just started yelling it like a mantra, like a chant. But they were speaking it out of total fear. You know what? That's wrong. We need to recognize that Satan is a defeated foe. Satan's only power that he has is human power and authority. He doesn't have this superhuman power and authority. And if you understood that, it would just shrink him down to a manageable level to where, yes, he's a problem, but he's a manageable problem, especially when you factor into it the fact that we have the power and the authority of Jesus. He's not any person to be feared. You don't go to sleep and ignore him, but at the same time, there's no reason to fear him. You know, here's an example on my own. When I first started hearing about demons and I became aware that we were in a spiritual warfare and I started using my authority, I had this concept that Satan was more powerful than me. He was bigger than me. And it was only through the power of Jesus that I was able to best him, and just barely, and it took this huge effort. But really, in a sense, I was giving Satan more power and authority than what he deserved. And an example of this is that in our house that I grew up in Arlington, Texas, my grandmother, she went senile, did some strange things and things, and I believe that there was some demonic activity. And anyway, when she died, there were some demons that stayed in that room. Now, this is subjective. Some of you are going to disagree and think, well, you're just making this stuff up. But I can, even back when I was a kid, I was about 8 years old when my grandmother died. I remember that when she died, I was sharing a room with my brother, and I didn't want to share a room with my brother. So when she died and was out of the house, I moved into her old room. And I guarantee you, there were some strange things that went on in that room. At night, there was a picture of her up on this dresser, and at night, that picture would leave that frame that it was in, and it would float around the room. There were strange things going on in that room, and I was only 8 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I knew it wasn't supposed to be this way. I was afraid to tell anybody that they would make fun of me. And so you know what I did? I stayed in there about a week, and I was back in with my brother. Well, my brother didn't want to share a room with me, so he moved in there in a week. He was back in. He never said why, but he was back in. My sister decided that she would move in there and we would swap out and rearrange. Well, my sister moved in there. In a week, she was back out. And even though we had this bedroom available, nobody would ever stay in it. And when my sister finally got married and brought her baby home, you know, that was the available room. And so she would walk in there and take her daughter in there. They're just a few months old. She'd be totally asleep. You walk in that room, she'd wake up and cry. Walk out, she'd go to sleep. Walk in, she'd cry. Walk out. And so because of it, we never used that room. It was always there, but we never used it. I used to, after I got turned on to the Lord, I had Bible studies in my home, and people would, you know, we'd hold a meeting in the living room, and then sometimes they'd go into these other rooms and pray. But, you know, that room, without me saying anything to anybody, people would go into any room in the house to pray or to do whatever, but they would not go into that room. And so we always kept that room shut up. We never turned the air conditioning on. We didn't have the heat on in that room. That room was just not used, and nobody knew exactly why. Well, after I got turned on and began to realize spiritual things and realize that, you know, like in Daniel's day, there was a prince of Persia assigned to a location, not just to people, but to an area. And I believe that some of those demonic things that were in my grandmother in her last days when she lost her mind, I believe some of those demonic things were in that room. Well, one day I was walking in the house and praying, and I thought, I've got authority over this, and I'm not going to allow this in this house. And so I remember I just opened up that door. I walked in there and I got to binding the devil and rebuking it. And I guarantee you all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I just felt like that. I had this image of me walking in between these huge demonic powers that were overshadowing me with fangs and claws and this vicious, you know, these vicious creatures in the spirit realm. I couldn't see them, but I was just imagining that this is what they looked like. And I was walking through them and saying, in the name of Jesus. And I was thinking, only by the grace of God, the name of Jesus is holding these huge demonic powers at bay. And I was walking through there and thinking like this. And I guarantee you, I was scared. And I was dealing with this. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Andrew, he says, if you could see into the spiritual realm, you wouldn't see these huge demonic powers with fangs and claws. What you'd see is little tiny, I can't pronounce it. You'd see these little creatures that are just repulsive and little, but they got this huge mouth. They really aren't big, they aren't powerful, but they got this huge mouth, and all they do is just intimidate. Instead of them being this superior power, you would see that you are the one with the authority and the power. They're afraid of you. They're cringing in the corner, but they're just screaming and yelling, trying to intimidate you. And I don't know if that helps you, but this made a huge difference. All of a sudden, I realized, what am I afraid of? The devil's the one that's afraid of me. I'm the one with the superior power and authority. And I mean, all of a sudden, it was like the Incredible Hulk or something. I mean, I just felt this surge of faith and power come upon me. And I guarantee you, I got that junk out of that house. I didn't tell anybody about it. I was there by myself. And when we held a Bible study that night, I didn't tell anybody what I'd done. And did you know that when people went off afterwards and they were praying with each other and praying for healing or whatever, did you know that they went into that room first time in maybe a year or two? I'd been holding Bible studies. Nobody would ever go in that room. But that night after I'd cast those things out, people went into there. It was no problem. My sister would bring her daughter home and stay there. No problem. Did you know? It just totally changed. Everything about that changed. We didn't know exactly what it was, but there was something demonic in there. And I can tell you, it made a huge difference when I quit picturing the devil as having a superior power and authority to me. And I realized that he is a defeated foe, that he really has no power, no authority to do anything. It's only a usurped power. It's only through deception that he can get anything done. You know, I've already used this verse, but look over in Ephesians chapter 6. I've already quoted this, but in verse 12, or let me back up to verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In verse 11, it says, you have to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles here, it just means the cunningness, the craftiness, the lies, the deception. And let me make a point here that the only power Satan really has is deceit. It's intimidation. He's like a bully. Did you know most bullies really are not that tough, but they've learned that they can bluff their way, that they can intimidate people, that most people are timid. Most people are easily intimidated. And so bullies will sit there and promise and threaten all of these things and very seldom deliver on anything. It's through intimidation that they do stuff. You know, I learned when I was in junior high that there was this guy who just, I mean, he would beat up on people. He beat up on some people that I knew, and he would come up and hit them and do things to them. And he was a bully, and he would throw his weight around. And I mean, people gave him special favors because people were intimidated by this guy. Well, I never was a fighter. I never was real strong like that. That just wasn't me. But one day he got to picking on this guy who was a friend of mine, and I mean hitting him and insulting him and calling him names. And this guy wouldn't fight back. He wouldn't say anything. He was afraid to do anything. And this guy was just running over him. And even though I wasn't a fighter, you know what? I stood up to him. And I just said, no, you aren't going to do this. And this guy's a friend of mine, and I expected to be fully pummeled, to be beat up. But I just stood up for this guy, and I said, you know what, you're going to have to take both of us. You aren't going to do this by yourself. And I stood up to him, and of course, this guy got mad at me, and he insulted me and said a lot of things. But, you know, he backed down. And after that time, did you know that this guy who was a bully and intimidated people, he became a friend with me, and he actually became one of my friends. And I believe he respected me because I stood up to him. And I came to realize that this guy was all blow and no go. He was just a bully. And you know, that's exactly the way that the devil is. He projects this image, and sad to say, the number one place that magnifies and exalts the devil is the church. Not necessarily the non-spirit-filled part of the church, because they don't even know that he exists. They basically believe that Satan and all of the demons are over in some third world country with the witch doctors. So basically, the non-spirit-filled church doesn't even give Satan much place at all. They don't acknowledge him. But among spirit-filled people who do believe that there is a spiritual warfare, which I agree with, and they are aware that demons operate and that we get sucked into obeying them and thereby empower them, and that a lot of our problems, sickness and poverty and relationships, are demonic, the problems that is taking place in those areas. I agree with that. But in the process, most of the spirit-filled community has portrayed Satan as this huge demonic power that really has supernatural power and authority. And even though there are a few individuals who will begin to rebuke him and resist him, they do it feeling inferior and just believing that by the name of Jesus, they are just barely his match. Maybe they could overcome him if they do it just right. And you know what? That fear and intimidation actually allows the devil to do a lot of things. In this section of this teaching on the believer's authority, what I want to do this week is go back and show you where Satan got his authority from. And I think it's going to surprise you to realize that God didn't give Satan his power and authority. He got his power and authority from men, from just men in general, people with physical human bodies. And even a lost man has more power and authority than the devil. The devil doesn't make anybody do anything. He has to have our consent and cooperation. And once you understand this, I guarantee you, it's going to put Satan in his place. It will give you a brand new attitude when you go to fighting the devil. It'll give you a boldness and authority that you've never had. And I believe that you'll get superior results to what you've had. You know, real quickly, I've only got a few minutes here, but let me give you this testimony that will kind of illustrate what I've been talking about, too. Because, again, when I first got really turned on to the Lord, realized we were in a spiritual war, I began to start casting out devils. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I just realized that not everything that happened was physical. And there was this one woman we had led to the Lord. She had been a lesbian. And I mean, she got born again and just radically changed. But she still had some problems. I believe that they were demonic problems from her life before she got born again. And anyway, one day she was at work and she just flipped out. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know what her name was. She didn't know where she lived. It's just like she didn't know anything. And she was just kind of standing there in a daze. And a person walked by and said, "Debbie, I'll meet you at, you know, this door after work and we'll go home." And she figured out her name was Debbie through that. She met this lady. This lady took her home. She got out. She looked through her purse and found some keys. And so she went in and she was sitting in her apartment, figuring that must be her apartment, but she didn't know who she was. When she didn't show up for church that night, we called her. People went by, found out that she was just totally out of it. And you know, in the natural, what most people would do is take her to a doctor, take her to a psychiatrist, and try and find some physical reason why she all of a sudden lost her memory and all this stuff happened. We knew that it was demonic. And so what we did, we didn't know how to do this. We just knew it was demonic. So we locked her in a room, and for 7 days we sang songs about the blood, praised God, and just literally beat the devil out of her. I mean, we didn't pound her or anything, but spiritually speaking, we just put so much faith out there that she got delivered of all of these demons and became normal again and got over the situation. Well, the word of this began to spread, and we had people start coming from everywhere. And we started seeing people who were on drugs instantly set free and come off, and they'd be high and they'd come sober and they wouldn't have to go through withdrawals. It was demonic, and we would cast these things out and we saw people set free. And so our reputation spread. People began to come from everywhere, and before you knew it, people were considering us an expert on casting out demons. And I didn't have a clue what we were doing. We just stumbled into this. So we read books. I won't even tell you the name of this book, lest somebody go get it. But it was terrible. It was just bad, bad, bad advice. And yet we didn't know what to do. So we started following the things in there. And anyway, rather than give you all of the stories about things that happened, here's my point. I became so demon conscious. I spent so much time dealing with demons and casting demons out that, you know, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. To go down the road, you got to go down the middle. There's a ditch on both sides. Well, I had been in a ditch believing that nothing was demonic. Then I hit the ditch on the other side believing everything was demonic. And I got to looking for a demon on every doorknob. And I became so demon conscious that I had a number of demonic manifestations where Satan physically fought me and things happened. I'm about out of time today. I'll have to finish this on our program, as we continue to talk about this. But let me just say that basically I became too demon conscious. It gave Satan authority in my life. I finally realized this, turned from it, and, you know, began to start striking a balance in this area. And it made a huge difference. I started seeing great results. And anyway, I hadn't got time to share all that today, but we will be talking about this as we continue on through this series. Let me just mention that these materials that I have on the Believer's Authority, this is a brand new book. It's a brand new study guide that we have out on it. We also have DVDs and CDs. And I tell you, you need this material. I would like to see you avoid some of the mistakes that I made, and that's the reason I'm sharing all of these testimonies with you, is to help you. It would be a blessing. So please listen, please call and write after you hear our announcer share about how you can get these materials.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Who Made Satan is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL19 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you once again that we have this brand new book and study guide out. This study guide is nearly 400 pages. I tell you, this is a great deal. We've put a lot of work into this, and I'm excited about people getting this truth. But also, I can promise you that every person you know needs to know these truths. And how do you share it? Well, one of the ways that you can share it is to get the materials and read it and live it yourself. But you know, we made this study guide specifically to help you teach Sunday school classes, Bible studies, or just one-on-one discipleship with a person. There's a CD-ROM on the inside front cover that you can actually reproduce this, and it'll have the questions and the answer key and all of the scriptures that are used. And it's just step by step how to take this truth and share it with another person. So check it out. Please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. Remember, this is April the 19th through the 22nd, Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.